Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line of 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com, and don't forget about the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, merchandise, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Rob Ensley.
Morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Good, going good. Joey Pyburn, how you doing, buddy?
Good. We've already been out smoking some fish this morning.
We did.
Robbo.
We did.
Awesome. Well, what you got in the smoker?
Well, we got tuna in one.
Awesome.
And then we got some salmon in the big one. And Joey went and had my mouth all set for a nice, hot, dripping tuna belly.
What's it take to get your mouth set? What's that take to get your mouth all set up?
You got to lower. You got to drop the jaw.
Like an anaconda. Like unhinge your jaw, and then you just go full, like the whole chunk, like a seagull.
We'll let you know, because before the end of the show, there's going to be some hot stuff coming out of the smoker. But
good.
Yeah. So anyway, now I got to get a new element in my little smoker. So you know how it goes. What we should have done is we should not have given you that Big Chief smoker that you won in the Northwest Fishing Derby Series Everett Salmon Derby event a couple months ago. That we should.
Yeah,
not have given
Joey brought that down. Thank you. That's
that
a
was
cool
really
smoker,
a mistake.
Man. Heck yeah.
So got to actually see you this week, which was nice. We met at Alaska Marine Lines, and Joey had some bait for us. So we now have some indication of what's going to go on. This is going to be your last show. You're heading up. So Governor Dunleavy came out last night, Robbo, and what did he have to say to those of us that kind of have a little bit of Alaska flowing through our veins?
Well, the 14-day mandate is going to drop on June 5th, but in its place is going to be a requirement to test negative for COVID within 3 days of traveling. So you got 72 hours to get the test and get the results. And basically that's your free ticket to ride right there. If you have a negative test within 72 hours of your trip to Alaska, you get on the plane, you head to Alaska, you hand that to the health officials at the airport, wherever you're going, any major airport in Alaska, and you're good to go. If you lose your test on the way there, if you misplace it, we always do that when we're traveling. They will have some testing available at the airports. It's going to take a while. You might be stuck at the airport all day getting your results. They're basically encouraging you just to have your test in hand. So now we're all scrambling, trying to find rapid testing and where is that available and how is this all going to work. They kind of have to do it to screen people out before they come to Alaska. There's still going to be a few squirting through, but I just wish they would have let us know a couple weeks ago that this was coming. I mean, a couple weeks ago, Dunleavy made it sound all rosy and let's go, let's get back to work, let's do this, folks. And then, last night it was like, oh, okay, what's this, They definitely had to do it, though. Now we just need to figure out this testing deal. Where is it available? How quickly can people get a test? I understand up in your neck of the woods, you've got rapid testing at every clinic.
This is what happens when you take your doctor fishing and he hooks you up on stuff, I've known Chris Beard for a long, long time. And he's one of the physicians, the fine physicians at the Everett Clinic. And he says, most walk-ins right now have testing available. And so, and Rob, if you talk to any of my University of Washington professors, they'll tell you right now, I tested negative all the time on some of those exams I had to take in college. So flunking this test is not going to be difficult. So I'm actually going to run up today because, I'm anticipating, the ability to fly up this week and get on up to Sitka, as I've done for the past 26 years. So there we go.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's going on in Alaska. So we're really, I emailed a bunch of our customers last night and told them what was up. And so folks are scrambling, trying to find testing. It'll sure ease some of our angst. There was some worry on our part. We might be on a boat with somebody with COVID or in the lodging facilities or who knows what. We're going to have a couple come through. This will certainly screen out a lot of that, a good percentage of that, before they even come to Alaska. So It's a good little security blanket.
Yeah, Joey.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care about Alaska at all.
All right, and most of our listeners do not anyway.
Because I don't get to go.
But what guys should care about is, hey, man, you know, come June 1st, we got a whole new suite of opportunities. We get the Upper Skagit. We get Marine Area 10. Okay, we get a couple other fisheries here and there. So, you know, the opportunity window is really starting to open up. Next week, on June 11th, we also get a Puget Sound shrimp opportunity, Robbo. And then, right now, our opportunity picture is starting to become a little bit clearer here in the state of Washington. We've got Kelly Cunningham, the assistant director of WDFW of the fish program. He's going to jump on in the second hour and kind of talk to us a little bit about this, Robbo, because right now we're getting back to normalcy with effect to our regulation package in the pamphlet, where you can actually look in the pamphlet and it's going to be valid. So, you know, he's going to talk us through our salmon seasons and crab and a bunch of other stuff, but it's looking much more positive than it did even a short time ago.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, just in a matter of weeks, we've gone from zero to at least 80. We're not quite to 100 yet, but we're getting close.
Right.
And along those lines, we had the Coastal Bottom Fish Opener this week. That went off really well earlier in the week. We got Brett Ferris jumping on. From Ferris Northwest Guide Service. He charters out of Westport. Brett's going to jump on here in just a little bit, 6:25, to talk about how that went down. Now we're getting pummeled by wind here today and tomorrow. But once it backs off again, I mean, the weather forecast looks good this week. The lingcod fishing should be just hot out of Westport, rockfish, all that stuff. And that Chinook opener is coming up as well on June 20th off the coast, too. So he's going to talk a little bit about that. 7 o'clock, Buzz Ramsey, our old buddy down there on the Columbia River. You know, we don't talk about shad ever. The shad word's been mentioned, once in 10 years on this show? Well, guess what? The Columbia River is chock full of them right now, and there's a ton of boats out fishing for those doggone things. And he's going to talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, the summer Chinook seasons as well down the Columbia River, buoy 10 and all that stuff. So Buzz is going to jump on at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, Kelly Cunningham from WDFW at 7:25 to talk about, you know, the non-resident license closure, some of the other stuff coming up here, and some of the exciting stuff as well. I mean, they've been working really hard. It doesn't seem like it from a fisherman's perspective, but WDFW has been cranking. They've been hiring fish checkers. They've been, you know, setting up COVID guidelines, all kinds of stuff down there that they haven't had to do in the past. So
this whole thing is like a flaming paper bag of dog poo on your porch. I mean, you can't step on it and put it out because you're going to get goo. You can't grab it because it's burning, right? There's just so – what do they do with this issue, with this problem, and balance opportunity and public safety, or the perception of public safety at the same time? It's been a difficult and challenging and unprecedented time for WDFW. And you know, at least now, though, we're kind of getting back to normal. The boat ramps in the city of Seattle, the city of Seattle finally pulled their head out long enough to actually open up local boat ramps, which is great. Especially since we've got, you know, a bunch of fisheries opening up in the South Sound again. You know, Area 10, the resident coho deal is going off pretty quick. And then, you know, it cracks me up, though, that we've seen, at least in the Straits of Juan de Fuca, some of the best halibut fishing, or at least best halibut success we've seen in a long time. And now the halibut are aware they're being caught, and so they've influenced the weather gods to basically weather close the straits.
They shut it down.
The straits are a cauldron right now. And even though the coastal forecasts are going to be okay, the straits look really, really challenging this week, Joey.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a mess. I was going to go fish on Sunday, but I don't think anything's going to clear out probably till Monday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a tough deal. The Straits halibut fishery is basically completely weather dependent. You know, like most of our fisheries are, but
that's fine. Give them a little bit of a break, because guys have been out there pounding on them pretty hard. We'll get a little break. Next day we have an opener in good weather. Guys will get back out there and it'll be like another opener.
Yeah, no question about it. 710-710 is the text toy. Light that thing up. I tell you what, let's pop out of here and kind of do a local roundup, because we did have, you know, a couple other things go on in the industry as a whole and other stuff too. So load that text toy up with any questions. 710-710, powered by Yamaha Outboards. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Stay with us. We are the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the rapid rivers of the Pacific Northwest to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Joe Pyburn and myself, Tom Nelson, coming at you from Tulalip, Washington. Robbo Ensley for one more time before he goes north down in Pillow Fort, Washington, Gig Harbor. Matt Nelson in our Seattle studios. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Anybody that hasn't been in a boat and smelled two-stroke oil as a kid probably didn't spend a whole lot of time in a boat. The passing of Evan Root outboards was kind of came as a shock. But, you know, there's a whole lot of, you know, obviously economic distress going on in the industry right now. But kind of surprising and sad at the same time to that iconic name, Evan Root, there was no longer going to be producing outboards, Robbo.
Yeah, Evan Root invented the outboard. 1907, buddy. Ole yeah. Evan Root. 1907, ran it for quite a few years, then OMC bought Evan Root in 1935. Ran it till the year 2000 when Bombardier Corporation actually bought the brand out of bankruptcy and turned it into what it is right now. But they, you know, yeah, for one reason or another, they just didn't have a lot of market share. You know, whatever their market share was, it wasn't as much as some of the bigs, the Mercs and the Yamahas and whatnot. And so going into the pandemic, they were just a little bit behind on stuff. And then this pandemic hit and whammo, just had to make a really tough decision. And that was to basically just shut down Evan Root outboards. Just a shocker. I mean, I got that 105 pump on that jet boat. You've ridden in that thing, Tom. That thing, you'd be hard-pressed to find a 150 block pump with more power than that thing. That thing is freaky fast, major hole shot, all the stuff you get from a two-stroke. Just a great outboard. And so anyway, that's the end of Evan Root. They are still going to honor their parts and service. They're going to honor their warranties. And apparently they're working out something with their dealers as well. I don't know what that amounts to, but just a major shock here. It just made me sick to my stomach when I heard that.
It's sad. I mean, they were my outboard. I mean, through my youth, I wasn't even aware that there was another outboard out there. You know, when I was a kid, and I still got that Den Horse Johnson that's a yard ornament right now. But no, I mean up until they were my brand. I ran them on several boats, mm-hmm. including my Weldcraft, and you know right up until our partnership with Yamaha came along a couple years ago. So yeah, I'm sad, but yeah, like I said, dealers are gonna still stock parts, and they're gonna honor the warranty and everything else. Last week's Sky Comish opener, Robbo, you had an opportunity to talk to Tommy Sakamoto over there at Three Rivers Marine.
Yeah, I talked to Tom, and it was a slow start last week. Now, it's been building up a little bit more this week, but I think on the first day at Reeder Ponds, three summer runs were caught up there on Saturday by the bank fishermen. But I was talking to Joe yesterday. It sounded like a few more came in yesterday, and it was just started perking up a little bit. So.
And it sounds like there was as many Chinook taken in that fishery or more than there was summer.
Yeah, I think they caught more kings down there than they did steelhead. But it sounded like they did catch some steelhead in the lower section. So they're coming. They'll be trickling in here.
Yeah.
I heard of a 30-pounder, 30-pound Chinook caught in there. Heard of a 20-pound Chinook caught in there. Guide Shea Fisher, Fishery Guide Service. Apparently, he got a 30-pound king out of there during the week here this week. So the king thing sounds a little bit better down the lower river, but it is a little bit early. Get into the first, second week of June, and we'll have a better look at that summer run, steelhead run. And regardless of whether it's good or not, who really cares? It's still an opportunity to chase summer runs, and there aren't too many more summer run opportunities around. So just get out there and give it a shot, folks. The river's perfect. Look at the weather for this next week. It's warm, but it's not too hot. It's just perfect for summer run fishing.
Yeah, no question about it. June 1st also brings that upper Skagit opener. That's going to be open June 1st through July 15th, and that's going to be from Rockport to Marble Mount.
And that's the best fishery up there. The lower fishery's tough.
It is.
You know, they're dealing with – the guys are down there netting, and those fish are tough to get in that lower section. Guys were hooking some nice fish down there, though. You know, a few guys were getting fish, but – as they move into that upper section, that's where guys can really target them, and they just do better up there.
Well,
it's a better fishery.
They stack up a little bit. I mean, you got to
they're flying through
that middle section. You know, 530 Gilligan Creek, they are flying through there. Yep. No question about it. And you know that Rockport to Marble Mount stretch, I wouldn't. You know, it's not ideal Chinook water right there, but there's places and ways you can get them definitely, mm-hmm. and some of that roily boily stuff you gotta avoid that and kind of just get these areas of laminar flow and I like sitting on them, man. I tell you what, if you can get a nice straight run like right before it drops down into a boil and back a quick fish down there or a spinner or a prawn rig, whatever, you'll catch them.
Guys do really well at
they that. They do. 100% they do, and still the ling cod thing here in Puget Sound just still keeps on keeping on, Robbo. I mean, it's a lot of guys are fishing them. I get it. But still, I mean, there's been seasons where guys have struggled over and over on lings, and this just, it seems like the ling thing has really popped back up.
Oh, man. And I think that's part of it is there's a lot of guys
there's
out there.
There's a lot of effort.
Right? Just because we can't go, now there's halibut, so that's going to kind of alleviate some of that. But, man, lings are just fun.
Yeah, they are.
Like, Tobek and I got out.
Right. Rob, Joey's new fishing partner, Robbie Tobek.
Well, and you took the boat.
How'd that happen, Robbo?
Jeez. We want to talk. We don't want to hear from you. We want to talk about Robbie. So anyway, go ahead.
So we got out in the South Sound, took his boat through the locks, which was pretty cool to do.
Yeah.
And I'd never fished for lings in Area 10. That's way down, like Elliott Bay area. Mm-hmm. And man, it was cool. We caught a big oversized.
Oh, you got
and
dinosaur.
You're welcome, by the way. You're welcome, yeah. Joe. For
yeah,
that, for
thank
that
you guys.
Yeah. You got off the phone. You called me. That sucks. Yeah. We haven't caught anything. Blah blah blah.
Yeah. He was the phone call that got it going.
Oh, that's good.
We caught a bunch of rockfish and a bunch of other stuff, but no lings yet. And we're like, it's just slow. And we're on Rob Tobek's like number one spot. Like that's where he gets these big lings. And we're like, just maybe it's not gonna happen. Call Inslee. What's up? Slow. Get off the phone with him, and 2 seconds after we get off the phone, my rod
just goes. I get a picture like 1 minute later. I'm like, is this from yesterday or 2 days ago? anyway, that was a big link, dude. That was a nice one.
That was a big one.
That was a toad. Was that your first bow mount bottom fishing experience, bow mount troll motor? Joey calls me up.
I was in love.
I have a new favorite thing. It's a bow mount. You got to put a bow mount on your Duckworth. I'm like, no, dude. You see that 30-pound Delta plow anchor? That's my bow mount right there. But I tell you what, it's a lot less hassle than anchoring, but that's a monster 36-volt.
Listen, here's the cool thing about it is you pull up to your spot, you drop that thing down, you push the anchor button, you sit right on top of it. But then you can toggle if you want to slide over 5 feet this way, 5 feet that way. You can toggle back and forth. You can move up. You can drop back. And when you're on the pick, you can't just move 10 feet to your right.
That's true. 100%.
And for that ling fishing, it's like fishing for walleye or even for smallmouth, right? You're working structure. And the way we ended up getting that fish was Tobek just put that thing in like crawl mode, and we were crawling up the reef.
Oh, neat.
Real slow, and almost just letting that – I was using a live flounder – letting it just kind of swim right above the rocks. It was awesome.
Oh, man. All right.
Hey,
well,
I guess at Link Cod News, too, the charter boat's got to go ahead on, I think, Thursday to fish off the coast. So there are some restrictions there. You've got to wear face masks in the cabin, bring your own pin, bring your own hand sanitizer. Yep. There are some restrictions in place, but depending on what the customer mix is, they could almost run full boats out there, some of the bigger boats. And I know a lot of the smaller boats have been running, so that's good news. The weather, again, Friday and today off the coast is miserable, but it's going to calm down this week, and so folks can get back out. That's pretty exciting to get folks back working again and getting some income, because it's been a tough run.
Oh, man, it's been tough for everybody. But, like you say, the weather has given us an opportunity to interview Brett Ferris of FerrisNorthwestGuideService.com, and he's joining us next. Westport is open for business. Going to tell you what that's all about next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the FOMAC Tech Line. FOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. FOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to BOMAX Tech Line here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Well, I tell you what, the coast had been closed to everybody. I mean, basically, you couldn't go to the coast. But that has all changed, and if you haven't been to the coast for a while, especially if you haven't been to Westport, the marina has made a ton of improvements. And here to tell us all about that and the Bottomfish opportunity just opened up is none other than Brett Ferris of FerrisNorthwestGuideService.com. Good morning, Brett. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good, man. I'm sitting here with Joey Pyburn, who's our lingivore of the group. Of course, Rob Ensley's here, too, as well. And I tell you what, man, you got to be excited that now, you know, you've got Westport opened up and the Bottomfish are out there and they're on the snap.
Yeah, it seems like it's been a long time coming here. Everybody was all geared up, ready to go. And of course, we got the big curveball here with the virus. But, yeah, things opened up and things are looking good.
Yeah, the reports we heard, Brett, from the coast on the opener this week, it was just on fire. What was your RPMs like? I mean, you're normally running at like, you know, 3,000 RPMs. Were you like 50, you know, 5,000 RPMs
down,
getting to the spot? Were you pretty excited to get the hell out there and get some fish in the boat, buddy?
Yeah. It was really, really nice out there. We got out there. We got it done pretty early too. You know, like you said, and there wasn't a whole lot of people. Well, not a lot of guys down there fishing, but ocean was gorgeous. Of course, it turned ugly on us yesterday, so it's really angry right now. But it'll be coming down. Looks like Monday.
Hey, what's your go-to gear for those lings out there, buddy? I know a lot of folks are running sand dabs. Some guys are jigging. What's your program, man? How do you get them going?
Well, you mentioned two of my favorites. I like to jig for them, but probably the funnest part is using sand dabs. And sand dabs are—I mean, they're just—they're like crack to those lings. You see that, and they are on it. I mean, it's a fun bite too with that live bait when you put that sand dab down. They just got to take a bite of it.
How do you catch your sand dabs? If guys are going to go out there and they want to go catch some sand dabs, some live bait, that's something that right out of the gate, you got to catch your bait. So what's your go-to for catching sand dabs?
Well, first of all, you have to look for a sandy flat because that's where they live. And, they're not going to live on rock, but just a big sandy flat. Look at the chart. And what I like to use is either just two small number four hooks, put them right on the bottom and let it just set right on the bottom because 9 times out of 10, that's where they're going to be. They're not sitting suspended. Occasionally they do, but and leave it on the bottom. And I like to put on a little piece of herring or a chunk of squid. And they just usually, you have two hooks. And when you get into them, you'll have two at a time and put them in the live well.
Nice. And then when you rig those things up, how are you rigging them?
I use steel leader with 12-aught hooks, and I hook them right through the upper lip. And sometimes I let the rear hook dangle, or sometimes I'll hook it through the tail. But there's a hard spot right on the top of between their lip and their eye. And if you get that hook, go through the mouth and up through the top, not through the top and out the mouth. And they get to flopping and put it down there and hang on.
12-aught hooks, kinda, dude. You ain't messing around. You're going to
anchor those are big hooks. And steel leaders.
Well,
that's not exactly a 2X tippet in a Royal Coachman.
finesse wind cut fishing.
Some of these ones get, you get big and bigger they get, the meaner their teeth. So they, you see them when they're shaking their head. And I know Rob knows all about this. When they get angry, they're just shaking and going crazy. And that actually opens up the offshore ling cod starts June 1st, Monday. So
that is a fun fishery.
That's kind of like Westport's Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Because once you get out there, man, we got a slot here in Puget Sound, right? 26 to 36 inches. Yeah, you guys kind of start at 36 and go up from there.
Yeah, and
especially the offshore that opens up Monday. So anything out past 30 fathoms right now is closed till Monday, and then it's open. So then it's go time. But we 2 days ago we had some real nice inshore links too, and there seems to be lots of link caught around. I mean, of course they haven't seen much because everything's been closed. So they're out there and they're hungry.
Hey, Brett, when you're jigging, whether it's inshore or offshore, do you ever run a dropper, you know, above your jig? I know a lot of guys that'll run something 2-3 feet up, an extra grub or some kind of gizmo up there, a squid or a B2 squid or something. You ever do anything like that?
I know guys that do, and I haven't. And I know it can be effective too. Sometimes they, like you said, they want the other thing, you know, but on top that, I have not personally, but, I know some guys that do, and it's pretty effective.
We're talking with Brett Ferris this morning, FerrisNorthwestGuideService.com's website. And all right, I love my lingcod and I love my halibut, but if you get a load of black rockfish and you get to eat those the same night, I will put that up against, you know, fresh rockfish, dude, over frozen lings or halibut. So what's your rockfish program and what do you expect out of that fishery this year, Brett?
Well, it certainly looks, you know, I went around and looked at a bunch of places that I fished the other day, just kind of looking around. And, of course, you know, with good electronics, you can obviously can see the fish, and seems to be lots and lots of fish out there. You know, either it's going to be live bait, they love live bait, or usually my go-to is, you know, like Point Wilson darts. And
little,
you know,
darts,
like
little 3-ouncers?
Well, depending on the current in the wind, depth, you know, sure. But, you know, it, the more up and down you are, the better you are with those, you know, as you know. But we'll go up to six-ounce jigs, and depending on how deep we are, like I said, the wind and lots of white and green.
I was just going to say any color you want, as long as it's white or green.
yeah, exactly. That's the two. And every once in a while, you know, it seems like they stop. And if you just put on some absolutely goofy pink and white, you know, something, you're like, I'm going to never bite that. I've seen it where they just absolutely, and then all of a sudden it's something, you know, they're like, oh, that looks a little different. And, you know, they just change it up a little bit. But, you know, if you can see them on the sounder and they're at 120 foot, put it, you know, if you got a line counter, which I run line counters just for that reason, and you're right there in their kitchen.
So Joey goes, we're talking, you know, I'm telling about you, and you know, you're a retired firefighter and you know, you've been guiding out there for a long, long time, Brett. And Joey goes, hey, what kind of boats you run? And I'm like, good question.
what kind of boat are you?
So you're a 6-pack charter, basically an express charter. So what are you running these days, Brett?
I got a Grady White. 24-foot Grady White, power was 300 Yamaha, and I take out four guys, and it works really well. I got a 9-foot-3 beam on it, and
nice.
Good stable platform. Everybody kind of likes that. Some guys like, you know, the bigger boats. Some guys like the smaller boats, and it works awesome.
So some of the bigger charter boats, they're limited with regard to the numbers of guests right now, but I don't know that an express charter like you is going to be that much effective, because you're kind of a 4-guest operation to begin with, correct?
Yeah, and that that's another deal there that, you know, I mean, everybody's kind of, depending on how many people they can carry, is it's going to be the deal there. We actually, you know, ask everybody to bring a mask right now. And, it's like, well, we don't have to disinfect everything. And I didn't think I'd be cleaning things like I'm going to be cleaning. But, of course, keep everything clean, but not with, you know, disinfecting rod handles and everything else. But, you know, it's all part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. The last thing we want is, something to break out, especially down there. And, you know, so everybody's doing their part, and, you know, at least we're fishing. That's the good part.
Well, and, you know, the nice thing about it is there's going to be a lot of fishermen that are a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
they're not down, quite so smelly.
You cut down the stink a little bit. But, you know,
smell quite as bad.
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing of that, too, is, you know, every now and then your boat gets a funkified stinkification going that kind of slows down your bite, whatever. And I know your uncles are clean freaks, Joey, and if they get in a situation where they see somebody catch a fish and they don't,
oh yeah, then the whole boat gets disinfected from the tip
of the antennas down to the bottom of the skeg, dude.
Well, good thing this year you won't have to do that. I know, Brett, even in Alaska, like I shipped up different color electrical tape for all the rods because you can't share rods now either. You can't pass the rods around. So all this new stuff that we're having to do, but it's fine. We'll get through it. Hand sanitizer and bleach. And I was joking with our health director up there yesterday up on Prince of Wales Island. Like, the whole island's going to smell like bleach this summer. It's not going to smell like fresh evergreen trees.
Prince of Clorox Island.
I already see a problem with the different colored electrical tape.
Yeah.
There's going to be one rod that's going to be on fire.
Yeah.
Trust me.
There's going to be.
I threw some pink tape in, too.
I knew
so
it.
Somebody's getting pink.
You get the pink rod.
Oh, God. Anyway.
All right.
Hey, Brett, you got Kings coming up here June 20th, too. You're just a few weeks away from some Chinook, too, man. What do you think? How's that opener going to go, buddy?
We're just going to have to, wait and see. You know, I know that some of the commercial trawlers have been out. A friend of mine was out the other day, and, he had a handful of fish, said, they're still kind of looking around, but only a lot could happen between now and the 20th, too. 20 days makes a big difference if fish move down the hill, and or we might have to run up the hill to look for them, but like last year.
Yeah.
Hopefully the ocean looks really good. It looked look really healthy the other day when I was out there. So we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see.
All right, buddy. Well, keep in touch, and don't be surprised if you see us coming out there for that deep water ling program, because I tell you what, man, that's a lot of fun. And you may see a couple electric reels jump on your boat too if it's 600-700 foot program. But
That's a must when you're like 700-800 feet. That's everybody loves electric reels.
And in talking to WDFW Fish Program Director Kelly Cunningham yesterday, he's optimistic that we may see an August opportunity for halibut, out of Westport. And if that's the case, that's going to be interesting as well. So there's a lot going on at Westport and a lot to look forward to. Log on to FerrisNorthwestGuideService.com. He's Brett Ferris. And, buddy, thank you very much for your time, and keep in touch, my friend.
See you, Brett.
Okay, thanks, guys. Stay line.
Later, buddy.
We appreciate it. Take care, man. Stay safe.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week. This hour of the Outdoor Line brought to you by Vortex Optics. See what Nelly's missing at vortexoptics.com. We'll be right back here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Get Raymarine, get rewarded now through the end of June. Go to raymarine.com for special incentives on the whole package of Axiom Pro and that new Magnum radar. I tell you what, that is a fog cutter, my friend. We've had a lot of fun playing around with the visual cams too, that new rear deck cam. Go check out the Outdoor Line's YouTube channel for the latest on those things. And a lot of times guys use GoPros to get a video of the back deck, and a lot of interesting videos happen right there. But without having to set a GoPro up, you just put a chip in your unit and hit record. You don't get sound, but still, it's it's still pretty amazing stuff you get on that rear video camera.
Yeah, and it's so easy.
It is.
Like you said, it's just
hit a button.
It's on all the time.
Yeah,
it's on the screen in the front. If something's happening cool back there, you just run up and boom, hit record, and you capture whatever, everything happening on the back deck.
So I've got that Ray Control app too, so now I don't even have to go forward. I just have one of those, an old phone. So Robbo, you had that idea with the Canon Optimums. Is look, you have an old burned out cell phone or something you're not using anymore. You're actually going to use that to run your Canon Optimums up in Alaska.
Yeah, the new Canon Optimums are Bluetooth. You can run them with Bluetooth, and you got an iPad on there. I'm like, I got the same thing going on with my little cell phones, and they already got waterproof cases, killer little cases with them. So we threw actually two of them in. One we could burn out because one of them's going to get smoked on the back deck, and then a backup. But it's perfect for running those things, and it doesn't take up a bunch of room. And I can charge the battery, and it's going to last all day. So I don't need to have it plugged in as well. So, that's kind of how we're going to run our cannons on the back deck. And then you can auto up all of them. two quick little pushes of the button, you hook a fish, and all the Denver Eagles come up at the same time. So I'm looking forward to using that. I tell you what, the hottest report this week, guys, I was on the phone with Nathan LaFrance over at Mardon Resort yesterday. He runs the tackle shop over there, and they're selling 1,000 cartons of worms a week over there right now. Completely out of control. Yeah, crappie, bass, walleye, you name it. The crappie just came out of post-spawn. They're coming out of spawn, and they're starting to situate over top of the those habitat boxes that they have around the lake over there. They've actually got a map at the store. If you want to know where those habitat boxes are, you can swing into the store, grab a map of it. They got the GPS coordinates, whatever. You can go anchor up on one of those boxes and just jig up a boatload of those crappie. The walleye thing's going good. The bass are coming out of spawn as well. He said guys are catching literally 40 to 50 bass a day right now. They're small. It's all the little males that have just come off the spawn. But they are aggressive, and they're attacking everything in sight. And it's going good over there on the east side. And I think you could probably say the same thing for most of the lakes over there. The freshwater stuff is just cranking right now. We had some good saltwater fishing this week. The halibut thing in the Strait was really good, actually, this week for most of the folks that went out. Now we got weather here. Yesterday, today, it's supposed to blow up to 45 miles an hour tonight up in PA. So that's not going to work for a few days for halibut. But once it settles down again this week, you know, maybe the next opener on Monday or something, I think halibut fishing is going to be good in the Strait. We got lingcod open on the coast as well. That's going to be good this week. We just got off the phone with Brett Ferris. He'll be out again this week catching lingcod off the coast. Next shrimp opener is June 11th. And we just got the Seattle boat ramps open. Don Armini and the Shill Show boat launch just opened up. They opened up this morning at 7 o'clock. What time is it now? It's not quite open there, but those boat launches opened at 7 o'clock this morning. What else we got? Summer runs?
We got it. Kudos to George Harris of the NMTA, yeah, sure. Peter Schrappen, yeah. Because they've been hammering on the city of Seattle to get those Seattle boat ramps open up. I mean, especially, you know, with June 1st coming up, you got the resident coho program going on, Marine Area 10 on the 11th. We've got that shrimp opener. If you don't have Don Armini and Shilshow opened up, I mean, you're going to have a war on your hands. There's going to be people backing their boats into the Coleman Dock Ferry, just dropping their boats into the water.
They're catching a few steelhead on the Columbia, too. Our buddy Scott Salmon was down there yesterday. Mm-hmm. Talked to him in the morning and sent me a picture of a beautiful summer run from down there. So there's a few fish, a few summer runs around, too.
Down on the lower river, that's an anchor fishery down there. And I know I got a lot of guys that have a lot of fun with that. Weather's nice, anchor up on a nice kind of an edge of a sandbar and hang out for the day, put the barbecue out and catch steelhead. There's some sockeye coming through and an occasional Chinook that'll break all your stuff off. So
yeah,
fun deal. The summer run fishery, we talked about that earlier on the show up on the Skycomish, off to a pretty slow start, but that's okay. It sounds like it's been picking up a little bit over the course of the week and some kings in there too. So there's some opportunity there, but I think this weekend the freshwater stuff is just like, now's the time. They've been planting lakes. The lakes just got another shot of trout a week and a half ago here on the west side. I mean, it's just perfect timing to get out and get on some bass, walleye, kokanee, whatever it is. The lake stuff is just on fire right now. So
yeah, I was just telling Tom for the during the break, I'm probably going back to the kokanee, since there's not going to be any opportunity to get on the salt this weekend. So I'll be hopefully heading to the lake, see if I can get my buddy Nick to drop the boat in. And Lake Stevens still been good.
Yeah.
Still catching plenty of kokanee there. The bass fishing's been great. I talked to Jim from Triangle Bait and Tackle. He's selling tons of bass and trout gear, just flying out of there. And, you know, right now, a lot of the big, you know, the big corporate accounts, they're running out of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, these small independent guys, they have, you know, good relationships with the vendors. They can get stuff in a lot easier than some of the big places. They don't have to go through corporate. So if you're looking for stuff right now, you're going to want to hit spots like Holiday, Triangle, John Sporting Goods. They're all loaded up with, you know, all the bait you need and then all the tackle. That's where you're going to have to go find your stuff. Because I was in a couple of the big spots this week, and, man, there's nothing there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the local thing. I mean, like Sportco outdoor employees, locally owned.
Yes.
And they were stocked up ahead of time. You go in there, like their line section, they got all the line, they got all the hooks, they got everything. You need swivels, everything. I was loading up for Alaska in there a couple weeks ago. They had everything, but the big corporate stuff, the national stuff, it sounded like it might be a little limited.
That's just because, look, they can't just call, a lead distributor and say, hey, get us some lead. They got to go through, they got a whole system they got to deal with. So,
if you get a hold of our friend Zach at Tin Shed Marine on Facebook, I mean, he's got those big Glow 18s, which we love fishing those. And just a big selection of stuff. I know you're working with your buddy Nick Pulley, too.
Yeah.
And these guys, they're local guys. They pour lead. They supply to a lot of, Harbor Marines and stuff like that, where you can get all this, really good gear down there. And I mean, leadhead jigs, you're not going to find those except in, our local stores. And I really would encourage guys to get out and do something. You started talking to me about something, Joey, yesterday that I'm really ashamed that I've never owned. And that's a sabiki rod.
Yeah. Well,
so if you think of your old, think of an old Thanksgiving, pilgrim
turkey
cartoon.
Yes.
And you got this guy out there with a blunderbuss. And so the end of the barrel of the gun goes like that.
It's flared out.
That's what a sabiki rod is. The line passes in the middle of the rod, the hollow of the rod, and you keep a herring jig set up in there or a sabiki rig that has like six hooks on it.
Yeah.
Well, we've run into so many patches of bait. I wonder what that is. Anchovies eat them, herring eat them, okay? Even we were catching our bait, lingcod fishing on a sabiki rig too.
Yes, yeah. You'll catch flounder on them. You can tip it with a little bit of squid. But the cool thing is to have that thing set up and ready to go all the time.
Yeah.
That's a Tobeck thing, and that's more of a Florida thing, I think.
But
and I saw it on Tobeck's boat down there, and I kept looking down. I'm like, what the heck is that thing? Looks like it's got a little spinning reel, and then it just looks like a long tube.
Yeah.
Well, it's got that sabiki rig inside that tube, and the little round 1 ounce weight just fits right into the end, you're ready to roll anytime.
Can I use a 3 or 4 ounce weight and use a level line?
You can do whatever you want.
I don't care
what you do.
I can't
Tom
have
can't
a spinner
use a spinning
reel.
Rod.
I can't use a spinning reel.
He can't
reel,
cast. He can't use
I can't
a fly
stand
rod.
It. Yeah.
That yesterday. Joe and I were ripping on you yesterday, Tom's like,
no, not me.
Put meat. Well, actually, Joe wasn't. I was. I was ripping on you to Joe. But, Tom, put meat on hook. Drop meat to bottom. Catch fish. Reel up fish. Like, refinement
more meat
whatsoever.
No.
Put more meat in freezer. Eat fish.
Oh, well, I mean, okay. Like, we're both going to catch some halibut, right? There's a delicate fishery. We just got done talking to Brett Ferris that's fishing steel leaders and 12-aught
hooks.
I mean, give me a break, dude.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, just absolutely classic. But here's the thing. You make great bait, Joe. You got great bait. You stock great bait everywhere else. But it's not just good to have a sabiki rod on board the boat. I mean, they're $60. They're pretty cheap. You can find them here and there. So, but to have one of those on board the boat not only gives you that fresh bait that's right there, but also tells you what that mark looks like on your marine electronics.
Yeah.
I mean, so hey, look, what is that? Middle of the water column. You drop that sabiki rig down there, give it a couple jigs, you kind of feel it, reel it up. There it is. Nine times out of ten, a Puget Sound is going to be herring, right? But there's anchovies Puget Sound too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sand lance really close to the bottom. And sand lance will grab a sabiki rig too. I've done it personally, right? But so again, just what that rod does is hollow, and so it keeps all those hooks that would catch on everything in the boat, right? And it keeps them secure, it keeps them safe in there, and you don't have to worry about unwrapping the sabiki rig every time you use it. But it's definitely and it's an advanced thing to have on the boat. I get it. But just like jig rods themselves, I mean, if you're out trolling around in Puget Sound, you need to have jig rods too, and because that set of conditions that indicates the fact that you need to drop a jig down doesn't last long enough for you to go find
your
rod.
Or
go find
to switch
jig,
over.
Switch over.
Yep.
All that kind of stuff. Have that stuff ready and be have it ready to deploy. And you run into some opportunities that you normally wouldn't have the opportunity to take advantage of.
Yes. And look, I sell fishing bait, But if you're going out there and you don't think that live bait is going to outfish frozen bait in certain situations, you're crazy. Look, for especially for these ling cod and even halibut, a big fresh herring down there,
dude,
it's just going to work better. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, especially, mm-hmm. look, it's not like there's, you're not going to go out in the Puget Sound and catch a ton of halibut. You want to maximize
every
your
edge
opportunity.
You can, 100%, no question about it. We have a jam-packed hour two for you. One of our Northwest Fishing icon. Everybody knows this guy. Everybody's heard. Everybody's read his stuff and probably fished his gear. Buzz Ramsey talking to us about Columbia River steel, sockeye, and shad. Rob Ensley's Northwest Outdoor Report presented by Truck Vault, the Duckworth Wildcraft Wheelhouse. Kelly Cunningham is the WDFW Fish Program Director. He's going to kind of give us a roadmap into what the rest of 2020 is going to look like on the opportunity front. Roy Robinson's Really Wear and a lot more. Stay tuned. We're the Outdoor Line, powered by legendary Yamaha Reliability, here at 710 ESPN Seattle.